thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin Kidd, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Father, we do thank you for all of your rich blessings, your love, your mercy, your goodness, your grace. And most of all, we thank you for the gift of your dear Son and for salvation through him. Bless our precious congregation today as this service goes forth. May it be a blessing to souls We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sweet as a song.
Service today, Brother James Arch, pastor of the Church of God in Georgetown, Grand Cayman, will be bringing us the message. I trust it will be a blessing to you.
For the devotional part of our service today, I will be reading from the book of St. John, chapter 3, and from Psalms 103. St. John, chapter 3, and verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And from Psalms 103, beginning with verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. What I would like to do from that is to bring to your mind today a few thoughts on the subject of God and his creation. How does he see us? I am very thankful today that he included me in his great plan of redemption, and that I'm able to witness to others about his great love. Some of these old songs that we sing from the redemption songbook may be out of style for some people, but they're so real. And just before I came to do this service today, I looked over the words of one of those old songs, and it says, "My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distressed, till I heard a sweet voice saying, "Make me your choice," and I entered the haven of rest. It goes on to say, "I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild storm at deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore." And verse 2 says, "I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord." What wonderful words. What assurance we have. What confidence we have. What consolation we have in knowing that we can belong to the Lord and that we are his. We live in a very real world, and I suppose it's getting more real with every passing day. And there are so many things in life beside the spiritual things that we have to look at and have to consider as well. We have natural disasters that are very common now in the world. Recently we had a major earthquake in this part of the world here. Caused a lot of destruction and death. We have floods, landslides we hear about on the news and read about them. Houses being washed down and washed away. We hear about storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and all of these things that cause untold human suffering. And people ask the question sometimes, how can all of this be and God still care about them? That's a part of the natural world. That's nature in all her fury. That's a part of nature. What I'm talking about today is the soul of man. God looks at the soul of mankind. And most people acknowledge God. A lot of people acknowledge God, but not all of them pursue him. Yes. No, not all of them pursue him. Sometimes God speaks very, very loudly to us. When I say us, I'm referring to the human family. And we find in the prophet Isaiah, in his writing, he said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." So God speaks to us sometimes before we try to seek for him and call for him. God speaks to us. And whenever we hear the voice of God speaking to us, that is the time to respond.
Yes.
To that still small voice. When you hear him speaking, you answer him. Isaiah wrote that beautiful verse of scripture, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." That goes to show us that God is so mindful of us. God cares about us so much. God understands all of our problems and the plights that we get in this life. He knows all of that. And if you go way back to creation, the beginning of man, in fact, you will find where God even pursued Adam. We are told in the 3rd chapter of Genesis, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" What a God we serve. I read a scripture here from Psalms 103, which is one of my favorite passages of scripture. It's a beautiful psalm. How does God really see his people, his creation? How does God see us? He sees us as human. Not as supernatural, but as human beings in need of him. In need of his salvation. That's how he sees us. And if you look into the book of Ephesians, Paul, in writing to the Ephesian church, say there in chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, listen to what he said. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Amen.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Of course, that's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, made both into one in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful work. What a miracle it is.
Yeah.
To be brought into the family of God. To have our sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And made new creatures in Christ. Friends, that's not a story that has passed away. That's very real.
Yeah.
That's very relevant for the world today. And if there ever was a time in the history of the world and in the history of the church that people needed to understand and believe that, is now.
Amen.
For these are the days that all kinds of problems are entering into the family of man. But God is the problem-solving God. He's the one that can forgive us. So he sees us as potential for his service. The fields are so white unto harvest, the Bible tells us, and the laborers are so few. Even when Jesus was here on earth, Jesus said to his disciples, pray.
Yeah.
Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, that he might send forth laborers into his harvest field. So I suppose it is even worse in these days. So there's much to do. God sees us as valuable people. Those that can work in his service and be a part of his kingdom. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of serving him. Don't be afraid of giving your life to him. That's the greatest decision you could ever make in life, to turn your life over to the Lord. He sees us through the eyes of mercy. I believe it's because of his mercy why Jesus hadn't come back the second time and ended the world. But the Bible tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Bible says. So the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Go back to verse 8 of Psalms 103. It says there, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I can't speak of anyone else, but I can speak of myself.
Yes.
When I was not thinking of him, he was thinking of me.
Yes.
When I was least thinking that he wanted me to serve him, he was after me. And I thank God for the day that I yielded to that still small voice. And because of his mercy, I'm here today. That's been a long time ago. That's been over 40 years ago, and I'm still here today because of his mercy. The mercy of the Lord is new every morning. His compassions, they fail not. God keeps us. You know, it is amazing grace. And not only providing for us in the physical, the material sense, but the spiritual.
Yes.
It is amazing grace. Indeed, it is. How sweet the sound that saves a wretch like us. He sees us through the eyes of patience. Verse 10 says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Think about it for a few minutes, friends. A lot of people go very deep in sin. Some go deeper than others. I suppose that's true. But you know, wherever we go, God still thinks about us.
Amen.
And God still loves us.
Yes.
It doesn't make any difference how deep we go or how far away from him we may stray. The prodigal went far too.
Yes.
He thought he had it made in the decision he had made too. But he found that he made a mistake. He found his way back to the same way he went. He had to come back. He had to come back to God, friends. We have to come back to God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God loves all of us. He's so patient with us. There's a song that says he's patient and tender with us. So loving and kind. There was one who was willing to die in our stead, that our soul so unworthy might live, and the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of our life to forgive. That's a wonderful song, also found in the Redemption Songbook. He sees us through the eyes of a father. What a heavenly father.
What a loving Father. Those of you with children know what I'm talking about. Verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know how little children can come to you and want something, or even your grandchildren, and you're so kind and loving to them, don't want to say no to them. He looks at us as a father. We are his children, friends. All of us are God's by creation. He made all of us. All of us can be his by the right of redemption too. He sees us through the eyes of knowledge. Verse 14 says, for he knoweth our frame. He knows what we can take. The Bible says that he wouldn't give us any more than we could bear. He knows. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Now, that's how he sees us. That's just a glimpse, I suppose. A brief glimpse. But what does he do for us? Now, I'm reading the Bible now. We want to come into up to date in today's world and how we're existing here now. What does he do for us? He forgiveth all of our iniquities. Just like he did in the days of yore. As you read the Bible history, read the Bible records of those that were forgiven, even in the Old Testament era, even before Jesus came. The Old Testament saints were forgiven through faith in God and faith in the coming Messiah. But today, in today's time, in the new dispensation, we are saved through faith in the atonement, in the blood of Jesus. He forgiveth all of iniquities. The Bible says in verse 3, Psalms 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases too. You know, a lot of people give in to the enemy. And if you listen to him, he'll ride all over you. The enemy is real, friends. The devil is real. God is real, thank God. God is all powerful. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But don't take your eyes off of the devil. He's an enemy. And he's very real in the world today. Yes, he's very real. But the Bible tells us that God forgives us of all of our iniquities. When you are forgiven, you are forgiven. When you are a Christian, you are a Christian. When God makes you one of his children, you're his. And we don't need to listen to the suggestions of the devil and the tactics of this enemy that will try to get us down and get us discouraged and even to turn us back from following him or following the Lord. That's his business. That's what he does. But stand on the promises of God, friends. He will never fail us. He saves from destruction. You know what the Bible says? Straight is the gate. In fact, Jesus said that. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Think about it today. Look at the many that are headlong into destruction. Look at what evil is doing in our world. The beautiful world that God made for his creation to live in. Look at what the evil is doing. Look at what the devil is doing. Look at what the enemy of man is successful in doing in today's world. It takes some power, friends, to live for God. It takes a man and a woman with some backbone and some grit to live for the Lord. It doesn't take a weakling to live for God. It takes a real man and a real woman to live for God in this world, but we can do it. Verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. What a mighty God. Thank God for his wondrous works to the children of men. We're talking about God now and his creation. And how does he see us? Yes, he sees us, friends. He's looking down. He knows all about us. And even when we become Christians, thank God, the Bible says his eyes are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. There are times when you can't do anything else but turn to God. Yes. There are times you can't go to anybody but God. There are times that nothing else you can go to, but you can always go to God. Amen. Central is never busy. Amen. He's always on the line. And lastly, He completely satisfies the soul. Have you ever seen such a dissatisfied time that we're living in? Oh, my beloved friends, if you don't know the Lord today, try to seek and find Him. Verse 5 says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." What a God. Thank God today for His wonderful plan of salvation and the way that He has designed for His people to live. When we come back to the Lord, He'll keep us through and give us a safe landing on the other side.
Brother James Arch bringing us today's message on the Way of Truth broadcast. We trust that it was a blessing to you. I'd like to give you our mailing address and invite you to write us, for it would be an encouragement to us if you would let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We'd like to invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6, and they are broadcast live over the Internet. You may also go to our archives and listen to a broadcast if you have missed any, and our monthly Way of Truth magazine is posted on our webpage also. And again, our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And again, I would like to invite you to write for our free booklet, Why the Millennial Doctrine is Not Biblical, a booklet that we'll send to you free on postage paid if you'll just write for it, giving us your name and address. Why the Millennial Doctrine is Not Biblical. Write the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA, for your free copy. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings abide, is our sincere prayer.
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me. Seeking for me, oh yes, seeking for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me. Jesus, my Savior, on Calvary's tree, paid the great debt, and my soul He set free. Oh, it is wonderful, how could it be, dying for me. Dying for me, oh yes, dying for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, dying for me. Jesus, my Savior, the same as of old, while I was wandering afar from the fold, gently and long did He plead with my soul, calling for me. for me. Oh, yes, calling for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, calling for me. Jesus, my Savior, shall come from on high. Sweet is the promise as weary years fly. Oh, I shall see Him descending the sky, coming for me, coming for me. Oh, yes, coming for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, coming for me, coming for me. Oh, yes, coming for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, coming for me, for me.